So I made the cut. I wasn't necessarily going to be the speaker today, so I'm glad I was able to get selected. And praise the Lord. It's big shoes to fill, though, after this week. Man, what a great week it's been with Jim Alter and last night Brad Nelson bringing the word. That was good. And so don't get your hopes up. So this was really a good time. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. This week, and I know you all are probably like, oh, I'm exhausted. That's why we took this morning off at 9, because I slept in. Like, I didn't get up till 5. And so I was like, man, that alarm, 4 o'clock came early. So forgive me for being tardy to the party. But it was really good this week, and it is somewhat exhausting, but it's a good labor, right, to be doing what God has called us to do. And I'm excited about what we're going to see this morning in the Word of God. You will notice that there are handouts being handed out. And so if you need a handout and you haven't gotten one, once again, like Cammie's doing so shamelessly, putting your hand in the air, waving it like she doesn't care, and that handout will find its way to her directly. And so anyone else need one, just wave around, and they'll either bring it to you or we'll call emergency medical services. So anyway, and if you have your Bibles, please be turning to the book of Psalm, chapter 12. That's been our verse, verses 6 through 7, Psalm 12, 6 through 7. That's our theme verse for the conference this year, as we've been emphasizing the preserved word, as we've been assembling the word of God and preparing to distribute it this year. And if you don't have a Bible, maybe you just got a guest bag today, and we're glad that you're our guest. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you're with us. If you're in the house and you don't have a Bible, if you have a guest bag, you can grab the bag or the Bible that we assembled that's in your bag. That's our gift to you. You can open it to page 790. Page 790. That'll get you right to where we're going to start this morning. If you didn't bring a Bible, maybe, and you're looking for one, there should be one near you on the seat rack as well. And you can turn to 790 if it's one of the ones that we assembled here, and it'll get you right where you need to be. To a very familiar passage to many of us, I want to read that this morning as we get started. Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. And then we'll go also, if we're going to do two separate passages today. We're going to look at Psalm 68, verse 11, which is going to be my primary text for our study today. But Psalm 12, 6 through 7. And then if you want to be getting a finger in Psalm chapter 68, we'll be going to Psalm 68 and verse 11 to wrap this up. So Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Amen and amen. The Lord gave the word, it says in Psalm 68:11. Great was the company that published it. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to publish your word. We're thankful for the company that is gathered today to hear and distribute the word of God, as we're prepared now to take what has been assembled, and it's on in boxes, put on pallets, shrink wrap it, put it on, get it where it needs to go, into containers, and ship it across the country, ship it to loading docks and shipping docks, send it across the ocean. Lord, there's all these things that are still yet to be done. There's many hands that have to get involved. And, Lord, there's still more finance also that has to get involved, and more of all of these things, Lord, are required for us to accomplish your mission and your power for your glory. And so we're so thankful to be drawn into it. We're so thankful for the assurance that you have given us your word. You preserved it to every generation, Lord. And now I pray, God, as we look at this text, that you open up our eyes and let us behold the wondrous things from your word, from the law, from the grace that you've given us in the New Testament, Father. We are so thankful for your word, and we're still not thankful enough, and we have eternity to work out our thanksgiving and praise to you, and we're thankful for getting started on it even today. Thank you for these that have partnered with us, like Arione and Yonita Vogley. Lord, we're thankful for the next big projects, which will be Albanian Bibles, and so we'll be right into that soon as they complete that translation. And we come to you today, and as we talk about your preserving of words, we pray for that people, and we pray for that translation. Lord, we pray for the opportunity to be a part of that, and we're thankful for that opportunity. And if you tarry your coming another year, Lord, I pray, God, that we will once again be putting thousands, tens of thousands of Bibles together and New Testaments for Albania. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So delivering the preserved word, that's really my topic this morning. We've had really good speakers this week, of course, and we've enjoyed this wonderful conference and had a wonderful time with Pastor Jim Alter as he talked about the process of preservation. I don't know that there's anyone more knowledgeable or eloquent that we could have had in, and I mean that with all sincerity. That was a wonderful opportunity for our church and anyone that came. So if you had not heard that, you should get online and make sure you get those sermons and keep them for posterity. As a lot of things were, those are the types of sermons and messages, really teaching more than just sermons, that you have to go back and listen to a few times, get some cross-references, and gives you enough to study so that you can get more. But we focused on how God has delivered the pure word in the English language, and we have the certainty of the words of truth this morning. We have the pure word. Last night, Pastor Brad Nelson challenged us to allow the pure word to overflow from our lives and onto others that God has given us to minister to, right? So it's one thing to have the word, but remember he used that illustration of the bottle. It doesn't do us any good if that water is not flowing through us, right? If it can come to us, but if we're not letting it go through us, it's not going to overflow onto others. What a great practical illustration of that as well. So, and then Pastor Bob wrapped us up last night reminding us that what we're doing in this ministry and as a church is getting the word to others, right? That's been given to us, right? We're just trying to give to others what's been given to us, and they need it, and we want to get it to them. And it's so true. The saying that Christianity is about one beggar sharing bread with another beggar is absolutely accurate. However, the bread of life doesn't only sustain us, right? When we think about the bread of life or the word of God flowing through us like pure water, it also renews us. It transforms us into the very image of God. And again, last night, Pastor Brad did a great job of illustrating that and showing us that from the word of God. And so you've heard me say many times that the gospel is only good news if it gets to where it's going on time, right? I stole that from somebody. I thought it was Brian Clark, but now I found out there's lots of people that claim that. So whatever. That's a good saying, isn't it? The gospel's only good if it gets to where it's going on. It's only good news if it gets to where it's going on time. So we and our sister churches have worked very hard to assemble God's word. But today we're going to pray over this and celebrate the delivery of God's word. Hence the title of this message this morning is Delivering the Preserved Word. We've established that the word's preserved. Now we got to get it where it needs to go. And I believe Pastor Brad did an outstanding job of wrapping that up last night and showing us the blessing of the pure word of God and our responsibility of allowing the pure word to cleanse us so that it overflows onto others. And I pray today we fill the cup up so much that we just can't wait to get out and pray over some Bibles and get them where they need to go on time. And so the opening words of Psalm chapter 12, which I didn't read to you. I just read verses 6 and 7. But let me go back and just touch on those before I go back to Psalm 68. The opening words of Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1 are these. It says, "Help, Lord." All right, he says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1, that's what it says. Now, historically, Psalm 12 is a plea from David to God to help. Help! Help, Lord, help me! Right, that's what he's saying. He's like, "Help, Lord, I need help. We need help. We need some help." So David cries out and this is his plea to God. "Help, Lord." You know, David cries as men speak vanity. Everyone with his neighbor. He says, "Help, Lord." People are speaking vanity. Everyone with his neighbor. There's no substance. There's nothing there. There's nothing that's eternal. "Lord, help. Help, Lord." As people speak with flattering lips and a double heart, he says, "Help, Lord. Help, Lord." And the answer comes back to David. In Psalm chapter 12 and verse 3, "The Lord shall cut off the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said with our tongue, we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us?" You see, there was conspiracy to displace David, right? There's always when there's an authority like David, and there's a movement of God to put this man David in the position as king, there's always going to be a counter movement to stop that. Because he's a type of Christ, and literally his throne is where Christ will sit in the millennium. And so it's an amazing thing. So the answer comes back to David, he will take care of his enemies. And who will help us? Well, that's a little bit rhetorical. "As the Lord will help us, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord." That's the Lord's reply. David, I heard your cry and I heard the sigh. I heard those that were oppressed. I will help you for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. You know why? Because he's sitting on his throne. He's large and in charge. He says, I'm going to move now because someone cried out. Someone prayed and cried out. And God says, oh, I heard that. Why? We know in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that the broken and contrite heart, God won't refuse it. There's no conditions on that. That's one of those unconditional promises. So anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, right? That's not even in any dispensation. When their heart is broken and contrite and they cry out to the Lord, guess what? He's hearing. He's listening. And he's waiting to hear what they got to say. He's interested. You know why? Because he's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's not Zeus, as we've been talking about in Titus. This is a God who wants to hear from us, but we often don't cry until we're in trouble, kind of like David here in Psalm chapter 12. But God says, I'll set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Right? Those that have, they're puffed up and they're speaking things, they're puffing air at him. And he's like, I'll take care of this. So this morning, I just want us to consider, where is our safety found? Well, it's found in our help. Help, Lord. Right? Help. And of course, our help is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the right hand of God. He is our help. The word of God and the words of God are true. His words are pure and his words are, as we've seen very clearly this week, pure and they're preserved for us. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's the answer. Where's the help going to come from? From my pure words, my words that have been purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Lord, your promises are good. Your promises will keep me. Your promises will keep us. You will keep your word. Because if your word is true, your promises are true. And of course, God's words are true. And so the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. That's the last verse of that chapter. Not only do we have a pure word, we have a sure word. And we spent a great deal of time this week talking about how God delivered pure words in the English language. Not only in God's holy word, but he's used holy men of God to steward the process of inspiration, right? And inscripturation. And then, of course, the translation process and the preservation is all in God's hands from the first century into this day. And so we also have seen 2 Peter 1:19 that says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto until you do well as that you take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy of Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what's really cool about this prophecy, because this is a prophecy, is it's talking about us. There's coming a day when the day star, Jesus Christ, is going to arise in our hearts. And I believe that's the rapture of the church. We're going to be changed in an instant, 1 Corinthians says. And what's going to happen? We're going to turn into light-bearing beings if we're alive before at the coming at the rapture, the catching away of the church. And we'll be changed in an instant. It's called the rapture. And it's not, the word rapture is not found in your Bible, but catching away is. So that's what you want to look up if you're looking for that. And we'll be changed, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. The day star is going to arise in our hearts. Now, he's already in my heart, and if you're saved, he's in your heart. But that transformation is so literal. Like, we will go from these earth-bearing beings, these terrestrial carcasses that we have on, and suddenly be in a celestial mode. It'll be amazing. I don't understand anything more about it than it says it, and it's true. I believe God's word. Do you believe God's word this morning? Amen. So the Lord not only keeps his words, he uses human instrumentation to speak his words and preserve his words to every generation. And I touched on that just a little bit the other night, but beloved, this is what has brought us to where we are this morning. That is what brought us to the text of Psalm 68:11, which I said I'd get to. But before I get to verse 11, I want to also go back and look at verse 1, because as David opens that psalm, he says, let God arise. Let God arise. He's wanting God to get up again. Let God arise. And he says, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Isn't this contentious? And so as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God, as they really will in Revelation chapter 19. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Psalm 68, 1 through 3. Amen. We've been doing that this morning. Jeff was pointing that out during the welcome. Psalm 68 opens as a declaration of liberation from the forces of evil. And we don't have time to do a deep dive on the text this morning, but David is recalling the great victory of Israel as they came out of Sinai in Exodus, which we studied last year here at HBF. And once again, it's recounting how God answered the prayer of his people, and God sent deliverance and provided victory and good and in a good and pleasant land. And so it is then when he declares, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." And of course, we lift that devotionally and talk about Bible publishing, which is exactly what we should do. But I want to give you the context first, because this, all of these passages about the word of God are coming out of a conflict. Coming out of a wrestling over the authority of who God is, the establishment of his kingdom, who is going to be in charge, and how is God's word going to be fulfilled, and who's going to be involved in it? Well, we know in the New Testament, Jesus Christ has won the victory. So our job is just to go out and publish and tell everybody he's alive. He's alive from the dead. He has won. He is in authority. He is God. And this morning, it is time that we understand that it is time to encourage this company to go out and publish the word. This congregation is set apart for the purpose of publishing the word of God physically, verbally. We're in the business, not in a corporate sense, but we're in the business of delivering the perfectly preserved word to those that are crying, "Help, Lord." Right? What is the impetus? Because somewhere right now, somewhere in Cass County, maybe in this room, across the world, across our country, there are people crying, "Help! Help, Lord, help!" And they don't know where to find help. And we know where to find help. It's in the Word of God. So God has set us about as a company. He's put a whole group of people together, and he's sending an envoy, and it's the Word of God himself. And Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from the pages of the very scriptures that we've been assembling all week. How does that happen? I don't know. It's supernatural. But it does happen. It happened to me. Satan, he doesn't like that. He is not about that business. Bob did a great job of articulating this week all the bumps in the road that we've had just trying to get here to this day. And there's going to be more bumps before these things get where they need to go. Why? Because we're in a battle. We're in a battle. He doesn't want you to be a disciple. He doesn't want one more person to be led to Christ, our adversary, that is. He doesn't want to see one more disciple. He doesn't want to see another, this adversary doesn't want to see another string of people coming to a local New Testament church saying, "I identify with Jesus. I'm excited about God's mission. I want to be who God saved me to be so I can accomplish that which God has saved me to accomplish." The devil hates that, because it is an indication that Jesus Christ, who's the expressed image of God, has now been planted in the heart of that soul. And that is another blow against the kingdom of darkness. He fears the cry of the widow and the fatherless and the destitute, though he is overjoyed at their plight. Because once they cry out, and once God hears it, he goes to work. And he doesn't always just go to work like some supernatural Matrix movie and he pops up in the scene, right? He says, no, I'm going to pop up in you, and you, and you, and you, and I'm going to send you as my ambassador for Christ, because I need you to be dispatched, to put those Bibles together, to go preach the gospel, to be where you're supposed to be when I send you there, so that you can open your mouth and proclaim the truth of God's word, and I can be quickened in the heart of that person who's crying out for help, Lord, help me. He hears the cry of the widow and the fatherless. "Save me from my sin." He hears that cry too. "I need Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust in you, Jesus, with my whole heart." He hears those cries when they're sincere. "I call upon Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He's my deliverance. He's my strong tower. He's my buckler." Oh, the fear that should strike the heart of the forces of darkness when they understand that our God hears those prayers, the cry of the oppressed and the answers of the mighty and all-powerful God. Beloved, you are the company. You are those who God is using to deliver the word of God this morning, at this time in history. We just spent a whole week looking at people throughout history, and God called on them to do what? Deliver the word. Some of them were preachers. Some of them were scribes. Some of them were, we don't even know what they did. They're not on the blackboard up here on the, that we had on the wall. But God knows who they are. And God knows who you are. And God is enlisting men and women into His army, into the company for such a time as this to finish the work of fulfilling the word. And making sure the gospel gets where it needs to go on time. Because He wants to be in the hearts of men and women and children who have cried out, maybe have already cried out, help, Lord! And they're just waiting for the answer to come back from heaven. Remember when David's answer came from in Psalm chapter 12? In your words, Lord, your preserved words. You'll keep them from this generation forever. Lord, our strength, everything is based in You keeping Your promises. Because we all know we don't keep ours. Your word is true, Lord. Your word is preserved. You have given us the standard of truth. You've given us the standard of righteousness. You've given us the standard of light. All of these things stand in opposition to lies. They stand in opposition to darkness. Stand in opposition to the forces of hell on a planet that's been contested since Adam took of the fruit. And even before that, when Satan rebelled against God. So like Moses in the wilderness, you have been called. And this company has been called to deliver the pure word to Cass County. To Missouri, to Kansas, right? To the United States of America, to the continents, to every soul that God will give us an opportunity. To the United States military, to the churches in Freetown, Sierra Leone, right? Wherever God would have us preach the gospel. To people that would think they're our enemies. They don't even know that we love them, and many of them don't know God loves them. In the balance of time we have remaining, I want to remind you of three things, because you haven't even gotten your notes yet. But I still have time. The Lord gave the word. This is going to be the most simple outline you've ever heard me preach. The Lord gave the word. Well, Brian, I know that. I read the text. Well, that's point one. And point A is the Lord has given us His word because it's priceless. It's priceless. You say, well, okay, what's that mean? Well, I just want to say hallelujah to you. This is an amazing thing. God has given us His word even though men could never, ever, ever afford to have it. Like we can't afford God's word. There's no way we could get it. So God has to give us His word because we don't merit it, right? There's no way we could ever earn opportunity to even hear from God. We don't deserve to hear from God. I don't think we appreciate that enough, especially in our Western culture. We just all, you know, how it is when you're lost. You don't have a thought about God until you like hit a, you know, you run your car off the road or you run into there's some crisis in your life and all of a sudden we're like praying, oh God, help. And some God's gracious. I mean, if we're sincere, He may actually send someone to help you if you'll listen. But so often we forget Him. We often don't realize how valuable the Word of God is until we realize how bankrupt we are. You ever notice that? That's one of the condemnations of the Church of Laodicea, actually, is that Jesus is available. We just don't want Him. We're too busy on our iPhones, man. We're too busy doing something else. But it isn't communing with the God of the universe that we have access to if we just open the door, right, and commune with Him. And so Genesis 2:17, you know the verse there, is priceless. You know, God, among other things, well, after that, is really incredible. You know, you got your whole marriage seminar. But before He gets to the marriage seminar, He says, hey, Adam, by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then He goes on into the fun part of life. Can you imagine how that passage fell when they were sinless? They're like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I get it. I have no intentions of violating that. I'm going to get to the fun stuff. Now, who's this you gave to me? And what are we supposed to do? And they're going to leave father and mother? Okay, yeah, that sounds like fun. Can you imagine how Adam and Eve felt, though, after they fell in Genesis 3? And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day? Whew! You know how they felt? You do know how they felt. Because if you're saved, we've all felt that way, haven't we? They felt ashamed, something they'd never felt before. They felt dirty. They had felt like they lost something they could never restore, but yet they worked feverishly to try to cover it. I mean, they didn't quit working. Now that they went to work, I'm sure their adrenaline, what's this adrenaline? I've never had this. You know, I don't know, but their biology was messing up. Everything was all out of whack. And then suddenly they hear the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day. Something they used to look forward to. Now it's like they want to hide. What has happened? Well, we know what's happened. God's perfect word has been violated. And we've all done it. They felt just like me and they felt just like you. Right before we called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And we said, help Lord! Help Lord! I can't get out of this without you. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I believe you're gracious. I believe you're kind. I believe you sent your Son as my sacrifice for sin. I believe you're alive. And I believe you can quicken me. Oh Lord, help. Boom. He does it. Just like that. Supernatural. They, like all humanity after them, were bankrupt. It's a good thing God came looking for them, or they'd have stayed in that situation in perpetuity. Without hope, without a sacrifice for sin, without a structure for sin, without a word from God on how to deal with their sin. But the word came to them. The voice of the Lord walked into the garden. He met them where they were at, and he came to them, and he gave them a sure word. And with that was a prophecy of how he was going to deal with sin. Prophecies that have yet to be fully fulfilled. We're still waiting on them. And we, like Adam and Eve, are still anxious to make sure God gets his word done. And we're so thankful that when he makes a promise, he will keep it, and that enemy is vanquished, even though it's not altogether done yet. He's like that serpent that you step on its head and its tail still wagging around, flailing away, you know. That's what Satan's doing. He's done. He's as good as done. But we still gotta finish the story, right? We still got a lot of history. Not a lot, but we still got some history left to finish. They didn't go looking for the word. The word came looking for them. And beloved, aren't you glad the Lord gave the word? The Lord gave the word. Right? Don't miss that. We didn't go find the word. The Lord gave the word. We wouldn't have the word if God didn't go about getting it to us. Right? He gave the word. Before I was born, the Lord knew I was going to be a mess because I was born in Adam's image and likeness. He's like, that boy Brian's going to be a mess. Put your name in there. You're going to be a mess. And so God knew before you were born, he gave the word. Before we were born, the Lord provided his word for us. Before I was even saved, he placed it in my culture. Hallelujah. He placed it in my hands. Before I was saved, he placed it in my culture. He placed it in my hands. As a sinner, as a lost person, as someone who had no inheritance in the kingdom of light, I was in the kingdom of darkness, and yet in God's infinite mercy, I was born in a nation where the word of God was magnified enough that even as a lost person, I was going to get access to Billy Graham and all these Sunday morning shows because you used to only have 4, 5, and 9, and you just had to watch whatever was on, and that was a good thing. Because what was on was Jerry Falwell and Jimmy Swaggart and All-Star Wrestling. Yeah, I know. And all these other things. And Truman Dollar. I never liked to watch Truman. But I did like to watch the little lady in the middle, in the corner. You know, she'd be like doing all of her hand stuff. I was like, what are they doing down there? Everyone that's under 50 is like, what are you talking about? Okay. TV ministries used to minister to deaf people. And so they put this little lady in the corner of the screen, and she'd be doing all this sign language. And so even as a 5, 6-year-old, I'm watching that. I don't know what the preacher's saying, but I'm like watching this lady do this sign language. It's fascinating. And God put that in the culture. I didn't even have to look for it. God came looking. He gave the word. I mean, he put it in the culture I'm in. And before I got saved, he placed the word of God in the care of a company. A company of saints. A company of saints I didn't even know about. A company of saints that gathered in a church I didn't know about that was formed long before I was born. And it was called Kansas City Baptist Temple. And he put a company of people together. And that company was about doing what we're doing now. And they're just doing what all the local churches are supposed to be doing. And that is getting the word of God where it needs to go on time. And one day there's this guy and his marriage is on the rocks and he's got two kids, two little girls, and his wife wants to leave him. She's a Roman Catholic and he's nothing. And he's going to have someone else. You know, can you imagine that? Some of you can. Some other man's going to call my little girl's daddy. Oof. He's got that weighing down on him, man. This marriage is going to go nowhere. But I got these girls. I'd like to get rid of my wife, but I still love my daughters. You know, that kind of thing. And I don't mean to be funny. That's actually true. And he cries, "Help, Lord! Help, Lord!" And you know what God did from that company? Saved him. He gets saved. Well, I better take this woman you gave me and see what the preacher says to her, because she's surely not going to get saved. She's a Roman Catholic, and she hates me, and she hates you. And guess what? You know the story. She gets saved. And God does a work, a miraculous work in their life. Why? Because somebody, a company of people, took the Word of God where it needed to go, but it didn't end there. Because the Word of God has to be delivered. And some years later, after their life gets together, and after they become disciples, and you can't even recognize their own self. In my culture, in my world, before I even know it, God interjects, and God gave the Word. He starts off with a bunch of dope smokers talking about the end times, Jimmy Swaggart, all this crazy stuff. I don't even know. And this man steps up and he says, "Hey, hey, if you want to know what God says, look in the book. Look in the book. Go here, go there." And it caught my attention. Because everybody was talking about the Bible, but nobody was quoting the Bible. Because the power is in the Word of God. It's the pure. It's the living. It is the powerful Word of God. And you know what? You do know what, because you've heard my story 1,000 times. March 25th, 1987, I finally knelt down and I said, "Help, Lord." I didn't actually say it like that. But in my heart, God, man, God brought the Word. Thank you, Lord, for the company. I didn't even want to join the company, by the way, initially. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're kind of on the outskirts of church and you're like, "I don't want to be part of that company. You know, I don't want to be part of that business." We even use those terms today. But God's calling you. Because it doesn't take you long to realize that God gave the Word. God gave you the Word. I mean, He gave you the Word. Literally, the next thing you know, you've got a Bible in your hands and you're reading the very words of God. And it is changing you from the inside out. The next thing you know, you become an ambassador. You know, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ starts working out through you, and you, the old man is dying and the new man is created. And next thing you know, you have power. You have power to deliver the words and see other people get plugged into the light. And it is supernatural. And yeah, people say, "Well, hey, slow down there. Slow down there, son. Don't get too carried away." Why? Because when the light comes on, it hurts their eyes. I know. I've been there. I've been on both sides of this thing. But once you're in the light, you know you're in the light, man, and there's nothing that you want more than to glorify Him, because my goodness, you didn't even have the Word of God, and God found a way to get you the Word of God. It was delivered to you in your culture, in your atmosphere, in conversations. And my goodness, God is so good to walk in this world and call for sinners to repent. Oh, He's a good God. Help, Lord. Help, God. Help, oh Lord. Can we help you draw people into the kingdom of light? Can we get people into the kingdom of God? Before I was saved, all that took place and all that had been taking place, that's just my little story. But you can magnify that by multi-million watt spiritual light, because that has been going on generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, through nameless faces, through people we don't know, people we have no idea about. But God has been getting us the Word since Jesus was incarnated. And He came here and was dwelling in the flesh. He was delivered to us through Mary. Miraculously, God delivered the Word. Why? Because there's a world that needed saved. And He fulfilled His own words and fulfilled the type, all the way going back to Adam, of a sacrifice dying to take care of sin for Adam's race. God gave the Word. So the story goes. Today, we are a company. We're a great outpost of light and life, because God, well, He's given us the Word, and we are to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're not to cower. We're not to circle the wagons. No, we are to take an offensive position with our swords out, walking circumspectly, getting the Word of God where it needs to go on time, because the Lord is coming back soon. before I was saved, man, I didn't get any of that. I was just one of those people out there going, help, Lord, because what I'm doing is not working. My pride's not going to get this done. I need something else, and that something is Jesus. Beloved, the Bible is priceless. I'm not doing it justice. I feel frustrated. Because no matter what I say, no matter how much I yell, I can't do justice to how priceless this book is. I can't do justice to the people who have bled and died to give us a word. I can't do justice to what Jesus has done in his own goodness to get the Bible even to our culture. I mean, he is so good. It is so priceless. You can't put a value on it. And yet we have it. I like what Brad said last night. He was rebuked by, I think it was a Brazilian or someone, for putting his Bible on the floor. Now, we don't need to be bibliolaters in that sense. You know, we don't want to make it brass and worship it like the brazen serpent to where we got to get rid of it. You know, but at the end of the day, the Bible is this, the words that we have. Yeah, don't take them lightly. The physical words that we have. Take care of your Bible. I like what Jim said, too. And don't trust your phone. Someday that'll get turned off. You need to make sure you have your Bible. All right, I got to keep moving because I am running out of time. So the Lord gave the word because it's not just priceless, it's pure. Today, a lot of people like to drink dirty water, but I thank God we can drink from the fount of living water that's perfect and pure. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 140, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Psalms 119, 140. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. So it's not just like generally. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Once again, the word of God and our defense go hand in hand. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar by the way. Right? So we don't tamper with what God says. We are blessed to know we have a pure word in our language. It's an amazing thing to see how things in the Bible that are translated are always improved and perfected. You know, we didn't mention that this week, so I thought I'd throw that in there. If you go to like Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Talked a lot about that this morning. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. The fulfillment of being translated is not even all the way done yet, but we have been transformed through that translation, right? We're better now than we were because our sins have been taken care of by Jesus on the cross. And so through that, he has literally put his spirit in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that glory will come as we are translated, as the day star arises in our hearts. It's coming. It's coming and you can't stop it if you're saved. I'm sorry. If you're saved, you're going to be translated. You are translated and you will be translated. You can't help it. You're going to be better whether you like it or not. By faith, Enoch was, I hope though you're more than a 4-watt light bulb. I hope you can get 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 watts. That'd be good. You know, follow the Lord and light it up. But okay. By faith, Enoch was translated. Hebrews 11:5 says that he should not see death and was found and not found because God hath translated him from before his translation. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Okay. That's pretty cool. He was caught up, right? He walked with God and was not, for God took him. Translated. Now, in the Bible, there's another mention of the word translate. It's the only mention of the word translate. So it says, so do God to Abner and more also, except the Lord hath sworn to David, even so do I to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, which is a bad kingdom, to set up the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. That mention of translation is about a transfer of kingdoms from a bad king to a good king, a king after God's own heart. And beloved, that is why these verses about delivering the word are always around this subject of people being changed, because God wants to translate. And when he translated his word, it is a pure word. That was a huge nugget that Jim gave us this week about the TR. I mean, that was massive. About how the King James Bible is the fulfillment. I mean, it is the TR. And they went backward to define it. I mean, that was gold. The only mention of translating the Bible in reference to Abner's desire to see the kingdom of Israel translated is from Saul to David, right? Going from a bad king to a good king. And what a beautiful picture it is that of what the Word of God has done. He translates this from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from that of Adam's family into the Lord's family. It's a beautiful thing. Point C, the Lord gave the Word because it is His possession. Right? The Lord has to give us the Word because it's perfect and pure like Him. He has to be the giver of it because none of us could give it. At the end of the day, the Lord gives the Word because it's His to give. He is the author. He's the author, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. This thing that He has given us is something of peace because He's the author of it. God is not confused or concerned about who possesses the words of truth because He is the word of truth. The Bible says in Psalms 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." He is the standard, and He's not going anywhere. So God wrote a book, and of course it is the Bible. And when you get to heaven, you will find that what you've been given on earth is settled in heaven. In fact, it sits at the right hand of the Father. As Psalms 40 verse 7 says, "Lo, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me." And of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Word of God. He is the author. It is His possession. So David saw his name written in the book. This is, we see our name. I see my name is called Christian every time I read the New Testament. There I am. There you are too if you're born again. But Jesus is the author, and He is the finisher of our faith. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For He is the authority. The book of Revelation 19, it ends in Revelation 19, 11 through 6, we're covering it on Wednesday night. When He comes back, His name is the Word of God. And He is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I say at the end of the day, Jesus is the authority. And I mean He is literally the authority from beginning of creation to eternity future and eternity past for that matter. And yes, at the end of the day, the Lord will once again be on display for all men to see and angels as well. And we'll always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is both Lord of the dead and the living. He is Lord of all. I'd like to say He's Lord of all or He's not at all. Well, He is Lord of all for sure. He is all authority. And the last thing I want you to see here is the Lord gave the Word because He wanted us to possess it. And I think I've made that case pretty strongly. He's gone out of His way to do that. Look, God literally gave His incarnate Word so we could have access to Him and be reconciled. God has given us His Bible to the English speaking world in the pure Word of God, complete, so we can be reconciled and possess the Word of God in our heart and share it with other people. And God has given the Word so we can share it. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to deliver the Word of God. We're going to share what God has given us with the world. So let me give you point two and we'll get out of here. Great was the company of those that published it. So point A here, great was the company. Great can mean a couple things here. It can mean scale and quantity, right? Or quantity. It could also mean quality. In the scripture, Jesus separated the 5,000 by 50s in a company in Luke chapter 9 and verse 14. Great was the company. And it is a contemporary military term as well. Company is usually 80 to 250 men. It's a military word. And it's no accident that we have an armory, you know. It's kind of like, ooh, that's scary. We're not making any weapons other than the Bible. It's a sharp two-edged sword. And so that's all we need. That's all we're called to do. We're not called to take up arms and all of that. We're called to get the Word. Well, we are called to take up this arm. And this is more scary than anything because it frees people's souls. You want to shake up the kingdom of darkness, just get out the light. Turn it on and turn it on bright. Interestingly enough, that's about the size of our church, though, a company, 80 to 250. We're like just a little over 260-some members, I think, right now. It's a company. What are we? We're a company. Great is the company. And it's not about quantity or size. It's about magnifying the Lord. Great is our God. How great is our God? Right? Sing it to Him. How great is our God? What makes a company great biblically? Well, it's their faith. David is referring to the children of Israel leaving the wilderness in Psalm 68 and how great the number they were. They were like 2 million people, so it was a huge company. So in that sense, it was great. But it was also a great group of faith as they crossed through the Red Sea, as they believed God for the Passover feast, as they entered and they sang the song of Moses, a great celebration. That's the company he's referring to in Psalm 68. And he says, man, great is that company. Man, they published it. They sang to the Lord. Everybody knew, all the enemies knew that God had delivered his people because they published it. It was a great thing that happened. There's no record of disobedience or doubt because he's remembering the obedience of God's people in retrospect. Great was the company. Was the company. He's looking back. You know why he's looking back? Because there are times you got to look back if you want to look forward. There are times it gets hard to get your Bible publishing assignment done. There's times when it's hard to get your message done. There's times when it's hard to get on the airplane and go where you're supposed to go, or go to work and witness to who you're supposed to witness to, or go to school and share the gospel where you're supposed to share the gospel. So what God does is he makes sure that you look back and you see great companies of people have been faithful. Great salvation testimonies, great opportunities, great victories that God has done. Not just at the Red Sea, not just with Joshua and Caleb, not just with David. And not just with Josiah, right? Not just with Jesus, but even in people like us, people that we know, all the way from the first century to now, not just Stephen, right? Not just Paul, but all the way to this day, there is a line of people, a great company of people, a great multitude of witnesses, Hebrews calls it. Man, and they're rooting for us, and you realize you are in the arena, and now is the time for you to take hold of your opportunity, and as you look back, you go forward in faith, just like David did as he slew Goliath. What did he do? He looked back, and he says, listen, there was a day when God delivered my people out of Egypt. There was a day that God killed those gods of Egypt. There was a day when Uncle Joshua slew those giants, man. There was a day when Caleb went in here and they took care of this business. Joshua nor Caleb would allow some giant to stand on this property and seize up our army. It just won't happen. So somebody step up and look back and then go forward in faith and fill up the gap of darkness and illuminate it with light. Would God call someone from this company to fill this pulpit if I drop dead and could magnify it 100-fold? By God's grace, that would be awesome. Because I know what I'm doing is not getting it done. I'm not turning Cass County upside down. I'm not turning the world upside down. God help us. God help us. We need help. We need to get the word of God where it needs to go on time. And that's why I brought in Pastor Jim Alter this week, because he has a way of helping us look at the past, so we can appreciate our present and go forward in the future. The reason the apostles all gave their lives was not because the gospel of Jesus was a lie. Because they knew that he was the way, the truth, and the life, no matter what the adversary said. The things worth living for are also the things worth dying for. Especially when your inheritance is sure in the heavens. David needed to get that ark back. In Psalm 68, all he had to do was obey God's word, put the staves in, and bring it home. Why? Because all the work had been done by God. You know what? God takes care of his word. You know what's in the heart of the ark? Tablets. The word of God. They lost it in the battle. They went out in their own flesh. They took the ark out. They were playing games with God. Next thing you know, they're defeated. Everybody's saying, help, Lord, help, Lord. No one even had to go to the Philistines to get the ark. God plagued them by himself. He showed up in their culture and gave them hemorrhoids and all kinds of problems. You know, next thing you know, they're putting it on a cart and saying, get this thing out of here. We don't want to mess with him anymore. Our gods are getting knocked over. I mean, it's just, God doesn't need us. He wants us. He doesn't really need us. He wants us. But he taught David a really good lesson, which is do exactly what I say, David. Because if you don't honor the ark, Uzzah's going to die. The word of God is important. Great was the company that published it. Great is the company of those that published it. David didn't say, great is the company. He said, great was the company. I misquote that sometimes. Of those that published it. God knows who those souls are that made up the faithful company. All the way throughout history, he knows who the faithful men and women and children are. I don't. I'm very limited. But God knows. In that group of 200 that came out in Egypt, he knows who they are. Yeah, we know the patriarchs. We know the big names. We may know some other associates that get mentioned in the Old Testament. We don't know everybody, but God does. He knows every one of the people that were part of that company. He knows everybody that came out this week and participated in Bible publishing. Every single person. I don't. I bet Bob doesn't even know. And this morning, I pray that you are counted in the company that follows Jesus and publishes the word of God to the world. practically speaking, that's what we've been doing all year in Word First Bible Publishing. We've been trying to get the word out, whether it's to Sierra Leone now, to this week, to the military, to the Alango in the Philippines. It's a great work here at HBF that God has called all of us to, not just me, not just Bob, not just the pastors, not just the deacons, not just the ministry heads, but every single one of us is part of what God is doing here. But sadly, not all are in good company. And this kind of gets me back to what David's saying and about that whole ark and putting the staves in and everything. You got to do it right. And Brad alluded to this last night as well. You know, that word company is an interesting Bible study. I'm not going to do it all for you. But if you do a study and you land in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says this. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. You know, there's some that are in the wrong company. And he's saying these are people that are supposed to be on your team. But they're in the wrong company. They're hanging out with the wrong team. Like they're supposed to play for the Chiefs and now they're playing for the Giants. What happened? You know, isn't that disconcerting when your favorite players gets traded and next thing you know they're playing against you? You're like, what happened? You know, that was one of my favorites. Well, that's the NFL. But in Christ, it's not supposed to work that way. Once you identify with him, once you go public like these did today, you're not supposed to go back. Doesn't mean you're mean to people, but your mission is completely different. Doesn't mean you can't have a relationship. It means your relationship is about Jesus. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world or with the covetous, or extortioners or which idolaters, for with them must you needs go out to the world. He's like, hey, you got to go do business outside. He says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. He's like, there's times when people get so stinky and so carnal, you can't even invite him to the feast. Lord's Supper, no, you're not welcome. Get that right before you step in and defile the rest of us. I mean, he's wrote it, not me, so don't get mad at me. That's God's word. Why? Because he wants the company to be clean. It's his word. It's his priesthood. It's our mission. And we're putting the word of God together. We have to have unit discipline to accomplish his mission. And the work of publishing the word is a holy work, as Pastor Brad preached on last night. There are times people allow sin in their lives and sin in the camp without regard to God's work, God's church, and God's purposes. And God says, remove them from the company until they make it right. It's not our heart to ever exclude people permanently, ever. We always want people to come back in the company. But there comes a time when you have to say, I'm sorry, but you can't be in the company if you're going to act like that. Because such were some of you, not such are some of you. Once you name the name of Christ, you no longer need to be that way. You don't have to be. That's a choice you're making, no matter what your psychologist tells you. So God gave instructions on how we should handle those who choose to sin over publishing the word. In 2 Thessalonians 3:14, the Bible says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no, here it comes, company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, right? That's really important, but admonish him as a brother. So don't just cut them off and say they're lost. You have to cut them off and say, you've made a profession of faith and you say you're born again. Now you need to act like it because that's what you said. And we're taking you at your word. I take him at his word. Well, guess what? We got to take each other at their word too. Pursuing self or sin will hinder. Now this is why I bring this up. You're like, Brian, you're like a Debbie Downer and you're most at the end. I know. But this is why I bring this up, because it's serious. What we're doing here is serious. It's fun to get together. It is really fun. It really is. The whole secret is this is fun. I mean, it's fun to meet friends that we haven't seen, to fellowship with other people. It is fun. I'm the leader of saying, come on, everybody, be part of this. But in my heart and my soul as your pastor, I know this. The people that are really stewarding this have to be holy because he's holy. It's dangerous for me to even stand in the pulpit and say that, like lightning could just hit me now. The only reason I have any safety, though, is the blood of Christ and is the purity of the word of God, because I'm no better than anybody else. And but by the grace of God, that's true. So we got to come to God and we got to say, help, Lord, help, Lord. And we know God is good and we know God wants us to be right. And we know God will help us because that's the character of our good, good Father. In Acts 6, we see the practical result of those who were faithful to publish the word of God, even in difficult circumstances. Notice the word shows up again in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. A whole company came in. People who knew the word of God. Why? Because a deacon was faithful. Because men and women were faithful. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I mean, God used a man. It wasn't even Paul, because Paul wasn't saved yet. It wasn't Peter, the head dude. It wasn't the other apostles. Some deacon named Stephen gets anointed with the Spirit of God, and God lights him up, and a whole company of priests come to faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that that's encouraging. As we continue to share the word of God that he's delivered to us, it will impact a great company of souls. I'm trusting that what we do, when we go out here in a minute and we pray, hey, let's be sincere about this. Like, God, it's getting where they need to go, yes. But God, do something to get these in the hearts of those that are saying, help, Lord! And beyond their salvation, Lord, use this material. Use your words. Help them esteem them more than their necessary food. Lord, build in these people an opportunity to be the brightest lights possible for Sierra Leone or for their regiment or wherever they're at in the military. Whoever gets a hold of this word, Lord, send the word where it needs to go. Do the work that only you can do, Lord, because it's your word and you're sending it and you're using us to get it where it needs to go. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. This week, God gave the word and a great company of those that published it. I want to thank those who participated in publishing the word of God this morning. I want to praise God, Pastor Bob, for you and Carrie. Amen. Yeah. I mean, these guys have really poured it out. And so has Randy and Julie over the years previously as the leaders of the ministry. And so thank you for just being faithful, Bob and Carrie, too, because I know how it goes. I want to thank the Word First Bible Publishing team. If you're Word First on the team, just kind of stand up where you are. I want to see who you are. Ron is raising his hand. Praise the Lord. Wow. I'm going to start calling you guys Sparta, because that's a small team. That's a small group, isn't it, out of this assembly? I mean, that's not 30 people. And look what God's done. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. The team worked tirelessly. After doing 64,000 New Testaments for Sierra Leone, which took all year, right? We all know about that. Then they turned right around with like 2 weeks to get this thing ready. And I'll be frank with you. Bob and I were sitting around talking like, do we need to do this now that we do this? But we need to do this. We need to do this. Because it's what we're talking about. It's getting the word of God, not only where it needs to go, but it's stirring people up. I want to thank the body of Christ at HBF. Thought I was going to leave you out, didn't you? The great company here at HBF that took off work, sacrificed sleep, food, lawn care, stayed up late, rose up early to take care of your chores so you could be here to work and get the word of God where it needs to go. Thank you guys for your sacrificial service, all of you, because I know that's everybody. And I want to thank our child care workers, the pastors of this church and their wives, as well as the deacons who worked in the elementary wing to watch our young children. And in spite of what I said about not needing more workers, I'm thankful for the ones that we have. I'm thankful. They willingly missed a lot of the great stuff that we were able to hear in here so they could take care of those lambs, which is what it's all about. They sacrificed for your sakes, and I praise the Lord for that. Missed some great preaching, so you'll have to get it online. But anyway, praise the Lord. I want to thank David Branham and the kitchen folks. How many of you were kitchen folk? I want to see you guys. Could you stand up? I want to see the kitchen folk. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I think there's some hiding out here. I know Jim Stovall's beard. I don't see it. It's probably over teaching kids. He was part of that too. So praise the Lord. Thank you guys. That was a big feed. You did a good job. It was good. I want to thank Steve Fleshman, who heads up facilities. He made sure the tent was up, the building was cleaned multiple times per day, the sanctuary was put back together, the restrooms were cleaned, and the chairs are back where they need to be so we could have church this morning. Amen? So thank you, Steve, for everything that you do all the time. Yeah. And that includes Don and all the others that help, Don and And Joel's always hanging around helping. I mean, there's just so many of you guys that help with Steve. I'm not trying to leave anyone out, which is always happens when you do this. I want to thank the praise team for the extra work and the practices, as well as the sacrifice of your time to lead worship each night. And the specials were really special, including the one this morning. It was a great job. And I appreciate that. And I thank you for worshiping the Lord, man. So we thank you guys for your sacrifice. And also with that, I also want to include the AV team, who's involved in everything and did a pretty seamless job of trying to get us through all of these things, managing the videos, the recording, the streaming, the PowerPoints, all the other technology necessary to make it happen. So, man, praise the Lord for both the AV and the praise. And I'm almost done, but not quite. I also want to thank the administrative staff. They've been prepping for weeks behind the scenes. Luke, Brianna, Mary, just working on all kinds of stuff, from images that you see to this, that, and the other, organizational things, buying stuff, getting T-shirts, promoting, communications, compensation for guest speakers, all the other things that went on. They are unsung heroes every week. So just praise the Lord for those guys. I don't even know if they're in here, but hallelujah to you. And last, I just want to thank all those that came, like outside of our church, from our community. Wasn't that incredible? I think, is Matthew here this morning? I'm going to call you out and make you embarrassed. Matthew, bro, he comes in from Nebraska. And, man, hallelujah. Yeah, just to be part of this thing. I didn't know he was going to be here, so hallelujah. That's awesome. And we appreciate that. He's like indicative of, like, we're like just putting Bibles together, and people find it, it's enticing. They want to get in on it. What a privilege it is to assemble the Word of God and get it where it needs to go. Amen? Amen. It is a privilege indeed. So in conclusion, I want to ask you three things as we conclude to deliver the preserved Word. Three things. The first thing is this, and don't miss this. If you're here this morning and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you this. I want to ask you to go beyond considering giving your heart to Christ and just full on give it to Jesus. Go all in. And call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Help, Lord, save me. I believe. I believe you're who you say you are. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you're alive right now. And I call upon you to save my soul. He'll do it if you mean that from the sincerity of your heart. The second thing I want to ask is that we're going to have an offering here in just a little bit. And I ask that you financially give. Of course, if you're a member, we've already been prepping for this for weeks. So the time is now. In addition to our regular giving to give over and above, we're asking the Lord for $15,000 to cover the Bible conference costs and also to help us with if we get extra, we can go toward a binder. Is that right? Yeah. So we can go toward a binder. We got places for those finances. So we definitely want to cover the costs. So we're praying that the Lord does that today through the offering. And then I know some of you may have been and on top of that, you're interested in maybe the Ancient Baptist Press, which is Jim Alter's ministry. He asked, he could use any amount. So if you have something you want to give to that as well, we'll make sure he gets that where it needs to go. And thirdly, I'm going to ask for your participation in prayer. So I'm going to pray here in just a moment. And we're going to hear a video from Vinny Nigro. And then Bob's going to come up and he's going to lead us in the next step here, because we're all going to actually physically get up and go out and pray over the Bibles. So let's do this. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed as we get ready to pray over the offering. And as we do that, I want the ushers to kind of get ready to take up the offering. And the altar workers, I just want you to have your head on a swivel. And as we get ready to close, I'm going to pray over the offering here in just a moment. But as we do that, I want to just say, go back to point one. If you're here this morning, this message really hasn't been a big salvation message, but if you're here this morning and you need to be saved, let's not take another step before we deal with that. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Would you simply say, Brian, you're talking to me, I need to be saved. Is there anybody here this morning that like this whole message was for your need for salvation. You know you need to be saved. I don't want to embarrass you, and I'm not trying to do that. I just want to know who you are so I can help you. And we will send someone to you right now. So while everybody's praying and they're not looking at you, and we'll take you privately, and you can look at the Bible yourself and make a decision. We're not going to twist your arm. So you can see what the Bible says. Is there anybody here listening that would say, Brian, that's me. You're talking to me. Just raise your hand in the air. That's a hard step just right there. Anyone at all? Okay. I don't see anyone. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to give back to you, Lord, we have a couple of things we're doing literally today. We're giving back to you financially, of course, but we're also going to be prayerfully giving here in just a moment as we go out and ship out the Bibles. Lord, I thank you for your church. Lord, in a group this size, there's always needs that I certainly haven't addressed in this message, Lord. And there's emotional needs, there's physical needs, there's financial needs, there's always something going on. There's people that maybe don't quite get what we're doing here. Maybe there's informational needs, whatever they are. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help teach us all things whatsoever you've said to us to meet the need, Lord, that the presence of your Spirit would be just very real and prevalent and coordinate with the Word of God to give us the instruction and the help that we need as we need it. Thank you for this church, Lord, and anyone I miss, Lord, in the thank yous as we give back to you right now. I pray, God, that you would just help them know that you see them, as I just said, even if I miss them. And Lord, forgive me for that if I have overlooked anybody. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your eyes being everywhere and knowing who composes your company. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just bless each and every member of your body. Lord, I pray, God, if there's someone under the sound of my voice in our church body that is, they're in the wrong company, they're with bad company, and they cannot deny it. Lord, I pray, God, that they would repent and come home. Lord, for this is a place where we love them. We want to restore them. We want to bring them home and help them get back in the business of serving you with their whole heart. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray as we give back to you, Lord, that you would bless the offering today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.